Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
NFL Power Rankings is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
He's back! What up, everybody? Welcome to Power Rankings, brought to you by Energizer. I'm Colleen Wolf, and a hearty, hearty welcome home. Dan Hansis, he returns victorious from England, from London. I mean, your country thanks you for your service.
America.
Yes. I know that it was rough.
Is there any paperwork that I get? Something I could frame and put in the living room?
I can have something drawn up for you.
Cool.
Yeah, maybe a plaque. Who knows?
I have to start on a negative note.
What?
How dare you put Daniel Jeremiah in the studio?
Oh, what are you talking about?
On our podcast.
Well, listen,
How dare you?
You know that we are very good friends at this point.
Well, you and Jeremiah?
I just thought that, actually, after last week, me and DJ, he has moved up my power rankings of friends.
It's like watching Padres games together.
Straight over you, Dan. But since you weren't here, I'm sure you didn't get a chance maybe to listen.
Not yet, but I plan to study it.
Well, how about right now? Shall we? The blood feud runs pretty deep with Dan.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, when they get contracts and they get them redone, they put in special perks, and maybe that's a wardrobe budget. Maybe that's flying first class on the road. Mine is I will only appear on a Dan Hansis show if he is out of the country.
I wish you weren't a liar, Dan, but here we are right now. Dolphins are number 3.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a man of his word. Spoiler alert. I mean, raise your hand if you're not shocked by that. Okay, that would be me. Can we put a QR code? Can we put a QR code on the screen and you can just scan it and get Dan's real-time reaction as
that
he's watching?
That would be perfect.
That's what I want.
I would love that. We're going to effort it, see if we can get it by the end of the show.
I will go back to Ken Dorsey real quick, though. I haven't seen somebody that upset since Hansis woke up in the morning and one of his two T-shirts that he wears was dirty. That is another level of anger. Peter that we saw up there in the booth?
Well, first of all, I was so excited when I heard there would be a Hard Knocks podcast and I heard you were going to be involved in it. And I was like, I'm in, count me in. And
That's great.
I was like, oh my gosh, they've got Hansus with her. And
but you still listen.
But I didn't see any episodes because of Dan.
No, yeah, but yeah. You subscribed.
I listened a little bit, but
right?
Now, just to your part, just to your part. And then fast forward, that little like 15 or 30 second fast forward button. Usually you have to push it multiple times because Dan, you know.
Goes on and on and on.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Dan. The look in your eye right now of just anger.
I travel across the world to promote this brand of American football. And that happens back home. That is a sneak attack. The wholesome assassin, Daniel Jeremiah, with his fancy little shirt and his little digs. I will have my vengeance. I declare vengeance on Daniel Jeremiah. Beware. No one in San Diego is safe.
That fancy little shirt he was wearing, he told me before we started the show that he specifically wore that shirt because you have the same one. So just letting you know.
My favorite dig was that I have two t-shirts. I'm like one of those guys. I have 7,000 t-shirts, including every t-shirt I've had since about 1999. And my wife wonders, why do you have all these shirts? Guys can't throw out their t-shirts.
No,
it's
difficult. Well, why don't you put your top five on a t-shirt? Let's throw it up on the show.
I don't know why I would do that because this changes every week. So that would be...
Well, maybe just for this week. Week four, we got the Eagles at number one. No change there. No change for the Bills at two. The Chiefs up two spots at three. The Packers standing pat at four. And then the Niners, woo, up six spots at number five. We're going to talk about them too. But let's start with the Eagles. I'm not freaking out. You are, Dan.
You know, 2 weeks in a row for the Eagles. They're the only undefeated team in football at this point at 4-0. And that was an interesting little test for them, wasn't it?
It was.
So you had a situation where they fall behind 14-0. It's the first time there's any level of adversity for them. And their defense and Miles Sanders are the ones that kind of get it done. Miles Sanders, I think, has been excellent all year long. A buck 34 and two touchdowns on 27 carries. If you remember, there were a couple years ago when he first broke out, he looked like a superstar in waiting. And then last year, never scored a touchdown. But the fact that he's able to be the lead of a ground attack that had over 200 yards, and then what the defense did to poor Trevor Lawrence, who we were ready to see him make the leap in week four, and he still very well may. I'm really a little bit out, Connie, on everyone needs to judge Trevor Lawrence every week about whether or not he's living up to the hype. But yeah, having five turnovers and four lost fumbles is no way to go through life.
It's sort of like what Tua was previously going through when every single start last year, he was being judged on every single mistake was so magnified. So Trevor Lawrence kind of takes over that spot. But it was an emotional game. It was a messy game for the Eagles. The fact that Doug Peterson was back in the building, it was raining, it was ugly. But like the win itself was ugly too. And they've showed that they can win a variety of ways, whether it's a shootout, whether it's a come from behind win like this. The defense did a really good job. Hassan Reddick, like what a great pickup that was in the offseason. But I'm a little worried about some of the injuries that are starting to pile up for the team. But you are standing on your ground here that the Eagles are the top team in the NFL, not just because of the record, but just because of
it is not the power standings, it's the power rankings. So yeah, it's the fact that they've won in all sorts of ways. And even when Jalen Hurts comes back to earth a little bit, they still find a way to reel off 29 unanswered points. I don't like that their new end zone font is a ripoff of the old Jets logo from the 80s. Like, you guys don't need to be doing that.
I'm not a huge fan of the font either.
I don't know what's going on with that. But yeah, and you have the number two team, the Bills, who were so awesome, obviously, on Sunday night. And it did cross my mind, Connie, since you bring it up. Were they good enough and impressive enough against the Bucs to take back the one spot from the Eagles? But ultimately, I said, that doesn't seem right. The Eagles, I think the Jags are not the Jags of last year, and I thought that was a really impressive showing in that game.
Yeah, so there we have the number one spot, and we will continue to see how they do. They have the Cardinals next week, the Eagles do.
That's nice.
It is, especially after what we've seen from that team.
Did you guys boo Doug Peterson?
I'll get to that a little later in the show.
I hope you did.
Listen, we're good people from Philadelphia, all right? As I sit here in all of my Phillies gear. Let's go to your number four team.
Okay.
The Packers. They stay at four, so now they're in the top five still. Pretty high for a team that almost lost to Bailey Zappi in overtime.
Yeah, that was a very strange game. because I don't think the Packers were playing poorly. And I don't think even Bailey Zappe was playing well. Like, it wasn't him going off and shocking the world. He made a couple throws, but for the most part, he was exactly what you would think from a third string rookie quarterback with no experience at all. So I think when you saw when the field goal kick goes through the uprights by Mason Crosby and the Fox cameras cut to Matt LaFleur pulling off his headset with like a look of just relief etched across his face, it was because I don't think anyone expected that game to go the way it went. And you kept expecting Green Bay to pull away. And yeah, if you want to quibble a little bit, sure, I will. That's part of the job here. I wasn't so impressed with the defense's inability to really take that game over, force some three and outs, force Zappe into a killer, you know, interception or a pick six, something that would give them breathing room. But instead, the Pats kept on answering the Rodgers marches. And then finally, they step up in overtime, get the stop near midfield, and then kick the field goal. So it was a nice little test, an unexpected test for the Packers. So it was enough to park them where they were. But I wasn't huge on Romeo Doubs dropping. It was very close, but that's now the second time we've seen one of these young wide receivers fail to pull in what would have been a huge touchdown for the Packers.
I hate when I don't survive the ground, like every single time.
Never survive the ground.
I hate it. But it just shouldn't have been so difficult for the Packers in that game. I understand when you have a game like the Bills and the Ravens did, like that is an absolute test. That's like a final exam almost in the regular season. And you know it's going to be difficult and it's going to come down to the end. But this really should not have. And I guess it was nice that the wide receivers for the Packers ultimately came through at the end so they could get the game-winning field goal. But there are some problems there, and it's not sustainable the way that they're winning games.
Yes, well, that word is the word that Aaron Rodgers used on Sunday after the game. This was the quote: "This way of winning, I don't think is sustainable because it puts too much pressure on our defense. And obviously, I've got to play better and will play better." And here's the thing: Rodgers, for all the criticism he gets on certain subjects, is being modest here, because I thought he was excellent in that game. He put some throws on the money that there are very few quarterbacks that can do what he does and what he did in that game. And that's why it was such a strange game for me. It's almost like I would want to go back and watch it again because I was in like an England haze where I'm sleeping two hours a night with supreme jet lag, because I didn't think the Packers played bad. I thought really maybe a testament to Bill Belichick and them coaching up that team to hang against a much better opponent. But the Packers held serve like the Eagles, tested in a surprising way, got the dub.
And their schedule coming up, they have the Giants, Jets, and Commanders. So they could have wins.
So Giants, so that's win, Jets, loss, Commanders, win. So win two of three.
Before they get the Bills. Yeah. How about your number five team? You absolutely love this team. You've loved them from week one when I think you had them ranked three. The Niners at five. You're really trying to make the Niners a thing right now. And honestly, like some of us are old enough to remember that Monday Night Football game against the Broncos.
That's ancient history. That feels like it was 100 years ago. I know it wasn't. But this is the version of the Niners that can win a Super Bowl. This defense is absolutely legit, sacking Matthew Stafford six times. You got the game-icing pick six by Talanoa Hufanga, who's been awesome all year. The Niners have this ability, and it's underrated, to continually unearth these gems on their defense. And they're not always high-drafted guys. They're these players, they're a development machine of impact players on defense. And you just see it when they have health and they have these guys on the field. They are really tough to mess with. And also, this building, Levi Stadium, doesn't always get a lot of love, but that was loud last night. I thought that was a good vibe there. So the defense is the reason they won that game. And I think taking it to Sean McVay and the Rams in that way had to be super rewarding after the playoffs.
Yeah,
last year.
Matthew Stafford was sacked seven times in that game.
Seven.
I was just looking it up. But you also have Deebo Samuel, and just the touchdown run that he had was, he had so many, I'm like closing my eyes so I can visualize it right now. There were so many missed tackles, and the Rams are usually, that is their department. They're so good.
And nobody could tackle Deebo Samuel. That's a toughie.
So you had that insane run, and then Jeff Wilson just was like shot out of a cannon at one point, just the acceleration that he had. There was just so much yak in this game. The yak bros.
It was a yak attack.
You know? Yak attack.
Yeah, and that's what this is about, and that's why you could say maybe I'm a little overly bullish putting them into the top five, but when Jimmy Garoppolo is playing within himself, he doesn't have to do as much as some of the other quarterbacks of big-time teams in the league right now. He just needs to get it out on time, on target, and let them do the work. After the game, he was interviewed on the field, and he said it. We're getting the Yak Bros back.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly three-quarters of his passing yards yesterday, 239, came after the catch.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's like you could say, oh, yeah, but he can't attack teams downfield. Look at what he has and the way they could play offense. That's fine. And then if you have a defense like that, come on. You're telling me with the team you saw last night dismantle the Rams. And I know the Rams haven't been good this year, but that's not a top five team to you right now?
Well,
or close to it?
I don't know, because watching them against the Broncos, it just felt different. Now, I know that was Jimmy's first start, and he really hadn't had a ton of work with the starters before that. But I think that you do have a point when you talk about the defense and the way that they're able to win games with this offense, with the yak yards and everything else. That's how they made their playoff run last year. So why couldn't they do it again this season?
Especially now Jimmy G's not playing with a bad throwing shoulder. Mm-hmm. So I think Garoppolo could get them in the end. I get that. I think the reason why I had them at number three to start the year is because I did buy into it, this idea of, but what if you took a supreme talented player like Trey Lance, and if the coaching staff believes in him, if he's great, they're going to be unbelievable. That didn't work out, unfortunately, because of the injury. But now you have this team, and I think this team is still plenty good enough to win.
Yeah, so they have the Panthers.
To win it all, Connie.
To win it all.
Perhaps.
Whoa.
You're telling me that version of the Niners in January, the Eagles welcomed them into the link. You're not a little concerned?
No, not at all.
There
Go
she
on.
Is.
I'm feeling great.
She's a Philly girl.
I feel great about my Philadelphia
The Philly
teams.
Girl.
Let's go to teams 6 through 10 in your rankings. At 6, we have the Bengals up 4 spots. The Ravens at 7. At 8, you have the Bucks. They remain unchanged, as well as the Vikings at 9. And then the Dolphins down 7 spots at 10. I want to talk about a team right outside of the top 10, though. The team that lost to the Niners while we're kind of coming off that game. The Rams. They have a lot of issues going on their offensive line. They're relying way too much on Cooper Kupp. Everything is going through him. Let's just look into the future, though, here for a second, because they started at 2. Then they fell to 4. Then they slipped to 6 for 2 weeks. Now they're outside the top 10 at 11. If they lose to the Cowboys on Sunday, how much further do they fall?
Well, it depends what kind of loss it is. But if it's a performance like this, the one on Monday night, they're all of a sudden probably in that 16 to 18 range, which is crazy. But listen, the reason why they're on a steady decline on this list is because they haven't played well all year. There was only one moment in the season where I felt legitimately good about the Rams, is when they were up 27-3 on the Falcons. And even that game, 28-3 on the Falcons, and even that game became a nail biter at the end until Jalen Ramsey high pointed an interception in the end zone. Yeah, I just thought that offense is hard work for them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you could definitely point to the offensive line and all the injuries that they've had along that front. And that's causing, maybe the reason why they're refusing to throw downfield is because they don't trust their line to hold up for Stafford, who's a veteran quarterback who's been dealing with issues of his own. There's probably a lot of different factors, but you're right. I don't think any offense where you're just throwing it over and over to Cooper Kupp. I mean, the game I see pick 6 by Hufanga, who do you think he's targeting there? Cooper Kupp. Of course, defenses are going to react and say, you need to beat us with someone else. And that's why this Allen Robinson situation has been. It's approaching. I wrote it in the power rankings on NFL.com because I love just writing the word. We're approaching, Connie, boondoggle status.
No.
With this acquisition.
I'm so upset about it. I really wanted this
Don't
to work out.
Don't be upset
out.
About
Why?
It.
I wanted this for Allen Robinson. Like, I was so excited that he was finally freed. He was out of Chicago.
Right.
He was going to a situation
we all thought
that would be great for him. And now this.
And this isn't necessarily a reflection of Allen Robinson himself, but of course, he's probably got something to do with it. Maybe he has a lot to do with it. But I remember around the NFL, went to Rams camp in the summer, and Jordan Rodriguez, who covers the Rams for The Athletic.
We love her.
We love Jordan. She was one of the many beat writers that were saying, man, this guy Allen Robinson, he is balling out. People are coming up to me and just saying, hey, keep
just
an
like
eye
strangers
out.
Strangers at the grocery store.
Just strangers. Well, I think it was at camp, but I like that idea, Jordan buying oranges in the grocery store and someone just can't get enough of Allen Robinson and conversation about his career. It was Colleen. It's like, Colleen, what are you doing here? You don't even live in this neighborhood.
I'm stalking Jordan.
Are you
now
following me? And so it's gone from that to this. And part of it's a reminder. It's like, oh, the summer's kind of annoying in football because you could talk and talk and talk, but you can't manifest it. He needs to do it on the field. They need to find a way. And they also need to pick up the phone and see how Odell's knee is doing.
That's true. That's a great point. I'm a little worried about Sean McVay. I wonder how he is doing just like mentally right now, because I'm sure
and I'm sure he did it last night. He has to watch that game film. And I wonder when he watches that, what his thoughts are about Matthew Stafford and how much of the offensive issues go back to him. And I'm sure he's obviously watching it, McVay, from all levels in terms of studying the offense. Does he understand that the protection issues and the inability to have a sustained run game and the lack of a trust here with Stafford and these other receivers? It seems like it's all kind of a messy stew. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time after watching this game, it's like, oh, I'm worried about the Rams. It's hard to repeat. It doesn't happen. Last time it happened was like 20 years ago.
Right.
And right now the Rams don't look anything like they were by the end of last year.
No. And meanwhile, Jared Goff, though he doesn't have the wins, is playing pretty well. We'll get to the Lions a little later in the show.
I still think they're 2-2 or probably worse if Goff is here. But you're right.
He is, for sure.
Here's the thing. He wasn't the problem either in Los Angeles. It was when the supporting cast came back to earth a little bit, including Todd Gurley, who went from superstar to just a guy overnight. He was exposed a little bit, Goff. Stafford, is he being exposed a little bit right now? I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
I don't know. It's a weird team to figure out right now. They can't figure themselves out. Teams 11 through 15, as we just mentioned,
Do you think I should have dropped him out of the top 10? You think that was too harsh by the old Zeus?
No, I think you're right. Watching them,
what did I mess up in the top 10? Did I botch anything in the top 10 to you?
Let's see. I'm looking. Well, I don't know if the Niners, the Packers maybe should get dinged a little bit because it was just such a tough win for them against Bailey Zappi.
But overall, I kind of nailed it.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my
game.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
11 through 15.
Just say we got very good, Danny.
The Rams down. Titans at 12. They remain the same. The Cowboys remain the same at 13. Chargers up 1 at 14. And then the Raiders at 6 at 15. But that spot that is just, it's so difficult to figure out. It's a little bit of the twilight zone.
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks in a row, the Cowboys have been your 13th ranked team. The defense is carrying the team. It's a little bit like a Cooper Rush effect going on. How do you feel about them right now? Are they really that difficult?
They are.
To understand, to figure out?
You know what? They're a little different than the typical 13 twilight zone team.
Really?
Because I don't think they're difficult to figure out right now within the context of they're pretty good. They are pretty good. They're not a team. Usually the number 13
team's
like,
really good right now.
What are we doing? Like, who are they? What makes them kind of an interesting team to try to figure out to me, Connie, is are they actually really good?
Mm-hmm.
Are they the team that went through last year and entered the playoffs and then fell on their face, but it was like, okay, this is a good Dallas team. This is a team, earmuffs, Connie.
No.
They are going to contend for the NFC East this year. Because as good as Cooper Rush has been, and he has been, he's really done great work. And I really liked even in the game on Sunday, he was attacking downfield throws with the game in hand late. He's fearless out there. He knows this is his opportunity. It is the defense that is not going to change unless they get hit by injuries. And that's a defense that has given up one touchdown in each of the first four games.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Eagles are going to struggle against this defense.
Well, we'll see. We'll see about that. They did a great job getting after Carson Wentz. They sacked him twice. They intercepted him twice.
But everybody does that.
I know.
It's been all year for Dallas. And Micah Parsons is not stuffing the stat sheet so far. But this is even without him going off and just taking over the league for a six-week stretch, which is possible as well. So the mystery to me is, are they a potential elite NFC team? I'm already now back in that they're good. How good are they? And again, we're wrong all the time on the show. I don't like to tell anyone that because I thought they were cooked after week one. But the Cooper Rush thing was a revelation that he was able to come in and hold things down. And the defense has been maybe the best in the league.
Was that a baby's head that just flew by? Or is that just, you know, your jet lag rubbing
that was,
off on
there
me?
It is.
You see it?
There's the baby. Well, uh-huh. It's a doll head, Colleen.
It's not
an actual human baby.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. E equals MC squared. a clock spinning. Grandfather clock. Mm-hmm. Just going around and around. We are in, not the Twilight Zone, because that's someone else's intellectual property.
Yes. What is this?
A version. It's the Twilight area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Twilight corner.
Well, no, because space is vast.
Right. The Twilight vacuum?
It's pretty good.
Okay. you know what else
it's
I see?
Good.
Team 16 through 22. Okay. Broncos.
Are we
at
clear
16.
With the IP on that?
We'll check.
Are we in the clear? Let's check with our lawyers.
Cardinals at 17, up 3. The Saints up 1 at 18. The Giants up 3 at 19.
Can I say one more thing about the previous grouping?
Wait, hold on. The Jags at 20, the Browns at 21, and the Falcons at 22. Go ahead.
Did you plan to talk about the Raiders on today's show before we said goodbye? Because I want to touch on the Raiders quickly.
No.
They're up 6 to 15, but it's not like I watched the game against the Broncos and thought, oh, man, they are on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
It's this whole middle of the league right now is very foggy.
There's so many teams that are 2-2.
So if a team like the Raiders wins one game, they're going to shoot up, even if I'm not that high on them. Now, you look at the rest of them, you just said, I got the Broncos down 2. The Cardinals, I don't like the Cardinals at all.
No, me either, but they're somehow up 3 spots.
But then look who's beneath the Cardinals. The Saints, who are 1-3 and very nearly 0-4, the G-men, who, yes, they're 3-1, and I moved them up 3 spots, but I'm not in love with them. The Jaguars just gave up 29 straight points to the Eagles, and their young quarterback had 5 turnovers. The Browns keep finding ways to lose, and then I got the Falcons up to 22, and maybe they should be even a little higher, you could argue. But I don't love the Raiders, but look at all these teams, Connie.
I feel like we just took a saw and opened up your head and looked inside of your brain. You're delirious.
Imagine flying over like Scotland and Ireland and then the ocean and then Nova Scotia. And then I'm over Bozeman, Montana. And it's like, oh, Dan, pound out your power rankings.
Oh,
figure all this out as like my body clock is exploding inside. But by the way, hashtag 32 for 32.
I have a gift for you.
I nailed it. What?
Hey, Dan, you know what time it is?
What?
Power Moves presented by Energizer.
Great.
All right, the teams that are moving up, and one of those teams is the Giants, now at 19.
How about
and
that?
Well, week one, they actually came in at 28.
That's where we started, at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, so really almost, you know, almost last.
One of the worst teams in the league, it seemed, on paper before we began the games.
Sure. So they beat the Titans and moved up to 21. They beat the Panthers and moved up to 19. They lost to the Cowboys.
Dip them back.
Back to 22.
I dipped them.
Yeah, you had to correct there. And then to the Bears, they won this past week, and now they are 19. So, listen, only the Eagles and the Vikings have made bigger leaps since week one, but at 19, like, you're still not really sold.
No, and you know what's interesting to me? Usually when there's a team, and I'll use the Panthers as an example last year, or the Dolphins this year, that gets off to a fast start, and if I don't immediately move them high up the power rankings, the fans of that team will come into my Twitter and just say, I don't know what I'm doing. How dare you ignore what they're accomplishing?
Usually, wait, let me guess. They can't understand how you have a job?
Right. You should be fired. Yeah. You should be this. It's like, whatever, bros. And then usually those teams, because they're not actually as good as those fan bases think, despite the early record, they fall back to the pack. With the Giants, I've done the same thing. I'm kind of slow playing them a little bit because I'm not buying in totally. But I'm not hearing Giants fans pushing back. I'm not seeing it as much because I think Giants fans also understand that this 3-1 start, while not fake by any stretch, this is a team that is played very close games in all three of the wins. Saquon Barkley has been the difference in pretty much all of them. The Cowboys game, which was like kind of the first big test in primetime at home with Dak Prescott injured, they weren't able to get it done, and that kind of said, okay, that was a little bit of a heat check for them. So while their 28-19 rise is notable and 3-1's great and there's a little juice in New York for the football teams, which is nice, I can't say when I look at their schedule, Connie, at Packers.
In London
with Daniel Jones may be out. He's right. Got the ankle issue.
And we don't know about Tyrod Taylor because the concussion.
Right. Ravens at home, at Jaguars, at Seahawks. I'm not in on that yet. I think that's it. After that stretch of four games, they'll probably be at 500 or below. But listen, they've already surprised a little bit. Maybe they'll surprise some more.
Yeah. The Daniel Jones getting knocked out with the ankle, and then he didn't throw a pass the rest of the game after he had to come in when Tyrod Taylor was knocked out. So who knows if it's going to be Davis Webb starting in London for the Giants. But this week, we had the wide receivers combining for 3 receptions and 25 yards. Kenny Galladay,
Who's that?
I know. I don't even know at this point. Do
I think
they
he
know?
Had
is he on
knee
the team?
Issue. He came out of that game, and
yes,
but he's
he had
been
a knee injury.
Such a disappointment. Yeah.
0 catches before he was knocked out late in the game. But this is a team that
all right,
I don't
Eagles
think
fan,
really
I know what
convinced.
You're doing. I know what you're saying. You're like, oh, this is total bogus. They're baloney. I don't believe in them, and I kind of agree with you. But this is a very hard spot for them going to London to play Green Bay shorthanded. But Saquon Barkley has been one of the best running backs in the league, and that is something I did not see coming. That changed their fortunes in a lot of ways this year.
146 rushing yards for him. Outstanding. He's been a bright spot, so that's great for the Giants fans. They can hang their hat on that.
There you go. Well, you know, how magnanimous of you, the
you know,
Philly fan.
I know. This is what I do. Anyway, we got teams 23 through 27.
Holly just patted her hair after that. I didn't know
I'm patting myself
about.
On the back for some reason. Seahawks up 5-23. The Lions, we're going to talk about them in a second. Down 8 at 24. The Patriots down 1 at 25. The Jets up 5 at 26. The Steelers down 1 at 27. Got their Kenny Pickett in. He'll be the guy moving forward. But this brings us to power failure. I just mentioned the Lions. And it was so sad. It was so sad watching the look in Dan Campbell's eyes at the end of that game as he watched on after his team. This was a 48-45 game against the Seahawks. Geno Smith came out of nowhere. This is so sad
what
for the Lions.
Music?
They didn't even have Amon-Ra St. Brown. This is the sad power failure music. Sad jams.
This is a sad jam. I don't know what to do because you know this team means a lot
to
us,
either.
Connie. We covered the Hard Knocks Lions season on the podcast this summer. That was a great time, and we had so much hope. And in particular, you know this, Connie, like Aaron Glenn was my dude.
I know.
Former Jets cornerback who just seemed to be the type of coach that anybody would want on their staff, a defensive coordinator, a smart leader of men type guy that lived and breathed it. And yet, they're on pace to give up more points than any team ever through 4 games. And after the loss, Dan Campbell, without calling out Aaron Glenn, you know, made it clear that we have reached the stage where we need to change some things and we need to be asking questions about why this isn't working. So the offense giving up 555 yards to Geno Smith and the Seahawks?
That doesn't even seem right.
There's a major issue here. So they got to get it fixed. They got to find a way. We talked about it all through the summer on the Hard Knocks podcast that this defense was a question mark. And Rodrigo, for instance, mm-hmm. having the second highest selling jersey, the undrafted or the seventh round rookie linebacker, they don't have a lot of star talent. And even with Jeff Okuda making a jump at cornerback, they don't have enough pieces. Mm-hmm. And Hutch there now. But it's a problem.
It is.
It's a power failure for the hype machine around the Lions because you do need tangible appreciation. You need to take the next step, and they haven't done it yet.
The offense has. The offense shows that they can score points. They didn't have Amon-Ra St. Brown. They didn't have DJ Chark in this game. Jamal Williams, he's showing that he can be a reliable back for them. Jared Goff is actually flourishing with Ben Johnson.
Right.
They're creative. TJ Hockenson has been a good option for them.
I mean, they're averaging 35 points a game on the nose. The problem is they're allowing 35.3 points a game.
Oy.
It is the highest total number of points, 281, of any team ever as well. So I want to talk about the Twilight Zone, the team that doesn't make sense. I don't know what to make of the Lions, but mm-hmm. let's just hope that this is not an aberration with the offense, because if the Lions offense comes back to earth a little bit, the defense is not going to be able to pick up the slack.
I just need a couple wins for Dan Campbell. I need
it
for my soul.
You know who else needs it?
The Colts.
Dan Campbell.
That's the next team I'm going to, the Colts.
The Colts don't need the Lions to win for Dan Campbell.
The Colts started at 12 this year, and you know how much I love them. Then they tied the Texans, so they fell to 15.
Yep.
Then they lost to the Jags, so they fell to 26, plummeted to 26. They beat the Chiefs.
That's when Peter Schrager said they should be 32, I remember, on Good Morning Football.
What, after the Jags game?
After the Jags loss.
Yeah. Because
who had looked worse at that point, which was a fair point at that time.
Sure.
But I didn't want to bury him that far.
Well, you bumped him up three spots when they beat the Chiefs, and then they lost.
Which shows
the Titans.
That was the right move, Connie, because if I would have put him all the way down to 32 and then they beat the Chiefs.
Exactly.
I would have looked like a jerk.
Mm-hmm. So here we are now. They've fallen 16 spots since week one. It's a tough team. And Matt Ryan, he's having issues with turnovers. They can't run the ball. This is not what I was sold during training camp.
No.
This is not what I sold to everyone else.
Right. And it's a bad beat for Connie.
It is.
I understand
ultimately.
That. But when I was walking into the studio today, and behind the glass was our colleague, producer Jason Kleiman, big Rams fan. And I said, hey, Jason, so what's up? The Rams, they stink? And we had a conversation about it. I have had the same conversation about the Colts. Are we just there with – are the Colts bad? Is that – what's the problem? Like, what's wrong with the Colts? How do we fix the Colts? Maybe this is actually a deeply flawed roster, and with the offensive line not being nearly as good this year, that blows everything up. That it was so sensitive – the roster that it needed to be held, everything needed to be strong up front or everything else falls apart. And because it hasn't been strong up front, Matt Ryan looks old and has been ineffective and turnover plagued. And Jonathan Taylor is getting stuck at the line of scrimmage over and over again. And now he has a high ankle sprain with a Thursday night game coming up. And you add it all up, it's like, you know, have I mentioned Shaquille Leonard just broke his nose and was ruled out with a concussion? I don't like anything about where the Colts are right now. They're lucky to be 1-2-1 because they feel like a team that could have been 0-4 as bad as things went. But this is not a team that I feel good about rising. I think the Titans are a better team, clearly. I think the Jaguars have surpassed them.
Yeah.
And they're more closer cousins to the Texans in the AFC South, which I'm with you.
I can't believe that.
I think I picked them as a playoff team.
Oh.
Maybe even to win the South. But that has not been the team that showed up to play.
No. The Colts are now 0-2-1 in the division, and they have Jacksonville and Tennessee again coming up in the next 3 weeks. So that is a rough schedule.
Yeah, and I think Frank Reich, knowing how angry ownership was at the end of last season, if this thing continues to spiral, I know everyone's saying Matt Rhule is going to be the first guy out. Frank Reich could be in trouble here if this season truly goes off the rails.
Yeah, it's that's not a place that you want to struggle, especially with Jim Irsay and the way that everything went down last year with Carson Wentz getting run out of town.
What kind of owner would you be? Would you be that type of owner?
I would be a well-liked owner.
You would?
Yeah, but I would think I would probably be reactionary.
Would you be the type of owner that would fire people all the
time
and demand results and...
Mm,
it's tough because all that power, you know.
Right, like, that's what I'm saying. I kind of feel like you might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be your thing.
That's your job is to win, all right?
Yeah, I'd be very calm, almost passive, but also wisdom. It would be like everybody would know I would carry around a big stick, a literal stick. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's his wisdom stick. And I would think about things like Winston Churchill in World War II and then come to decisions that would lead my organization to glory.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You know who has a new owner? The Broncos. Let's go to them.
Nice they transition. She's a pro.
Week one have fallen 8 spots since week one.
Wisdom stick.
Yeah. They went from 8 to 16 to 17 to 14 to 16. So here we are now. This offense is, we saw a little bit more this week with Russell Wilson, but this team, now they lost Javonte Williams. It's difficult to figure out.
Yeah. The fact that I have them at 16, that feels generous as well. Mm-hmm. But again, speaking to what we were talking about earlier, it's so hard to figure out this area of the power rankings right now. It's usually the toughest spot to figure out is that the teenagers, as we'll call them for the power rankings, that 13 to 19 group. And the Broncos are right near the top of the list. And I don't know what they're going to do. This Javonte Williams injury was terrible. It was worse than you would have imagined when you saw it happen. So he's got a long road back. And the fact that they have to put Melvin Gordon back in the lineup at running back, a guy that's fumbled 4 times, including lost one for a fumble last week in a big game. That's not good. That's not good. And then you put in Boone in that game, and he drops a pass that would have kept them alive against the Raiders late. So their running back situation is brutal. You know, you got the Randy Gregory injury. We'll say this positively about the Broncos.
Okay.
Russell Wilson is starting to look a little bit more like dangerous.
He's doing a little more freelance work.
The last drive against the Niners on Sunday night, and then he made some really kind of good throws that reminded you of the old days, and scrambling a little bit more against the Raiders. He certainly was not the problem against Las Vegas, but Denver in general, yeah, I think it's safe to say, even at 2-2, which is hardly a disgraceful record, I would say that they're a pretty big disappointment when going down that list in the AFC.
Mm-hmm. So they play Thursday night, as we mentioned, against the Colts. And
nice setup for them, though.
Right?
Nice setup for them, because Jonathan Taylor, even if he plays, is going to be severely limited. And you take Jonathan Taylor out of that lineup, the Denver defense should be able to eat there, even with Gregory out.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that game goes. But we were talking about Frank Reich, and when we were talking about the Colts and the fact that he could, you know, his seat might be getting warm. A team who has a head coach with the hottest of hot seats, I feel like, already, Matt Rhule, the Panthers. They have fallen 8 spots since week 1. They have bounced from 23 down to 29, down to 31. And then 29, 31, they are really hovering just around, like, the worst possible spots. So this is Baker Mayfield. He has looked awful. He is not the guy. I mean, I wonder at this point, are they going to turn to Sam Darnold? Is that
No, they
better?
Will. They will turn to Sam Darnold, because this is not sustainable. And is it better? Probably not, but that's the problem. That's the Matt Rhule situation, which is the one that nobody wants to be in right now. He knows his job's on the line here, and he knows, just like every Panthers fan, and you could hear him in Charlotte on Sunday booing the quarterback. They know he is not the answer. Mayfield, I always kind of thought this, that he was a product of his system in Cleveland, and when there was a lot around him, he was able to make some things happen. But once you take some things away, this is what you get. And Darnold probably won't do any better, let's face it. But they need to, at a certain point, make a change. And the fact that Matt Corral, the rookie, went out with a foot injury in August, so he's not even an option. So Rhule's, like, stuck with Baker right now. And there was a report that came out this week that Darnold's not close to coming back yet from the high ankle sprain that he suffered. Yeah. You're just stuck with Baker. But can I say one thing about the offense?
You can. Yeah, go ahead, please.
A few years back, Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback, and they were better. But you know who else is better? Christian McCaffrey. And you know why they were better? It wasn't just because McCaffrey's a different guy now, because I think he's the same guy. They would use him a lot, like throwing downfield and pass patterns. And he was kind of used in a dynamic way. And now it's just like they're just hammering him through the middle of the line as a between the tackles runner with an occasional screen pass. He's your dude. Like, find ways to make the quarterback's job easier by using the best player on your team.
And that's a rule. Ben McAdoo is not being creative.
I did share with the audience that Ben McAdoo looks like my neighbor Nate on
what a nugget for
around
all of
the
us.
NFL. And again, it didn't maybe track with the entire audience, but I'm gonna now say it on another show.
Wow,
that's a cool thing though, that he kind of looks like my neighbor.
Small audience is really.
They showed him
that
in the box, and I was like, "Oh, that looks like my neighbor."
Let's go to teams 28 through.
That's
32.
My Ben McAdoo analysis, in case you.
Is it your neighbor? That's calling the plays
when Ben. It might as well be. I remember when Ben McAdoo was the Giants coach, and he couldn't figure out what to do with his hair, and then he slicked it back, and I think he's found something now.
All right,
you don't want to talk about.
No,
you brought him up.
End of the power rankings, the Colts at 28. We just mentioned them down 5. At 29, we got the Commanders taking command one spot up from last week. The Bears at 30, down 3. The Panthers down 2 at 31, and then unchanged the
Commanders
Texans
moved up, huh?
At 32.
So that tells you, if the Commanders can get beat 25-10 and look bad doing it and technically move up a spot, the teams below them are in a bad place.
That's a really bad place. So, you don't want to be in this spot.
And so the Colts, you know, they just have an edge on the Commanders. But the Bears, the Justin Fields thing, that's another issue, because you could tell that Matt Eberflus does not feel like he can trust Fields right now to run the offense. He set a season high on Sunday in the 2012 loss to the Giants with 11 completions.
Wow, not good.
So that's an issue.
All right, so let's get to the best of the rest here. We're going to put 30 seconds on the clock.
I feel like that's an issue.
Dan, it is an issue. You know what else? There's a lot of issues here in terms of teams that are difficult to figure out, which is the hardest to figure out. I know they all are.
You're putting me on a clock with jet lag?
Go ahead, go.
All right, hardest team to figure out is the Dolphins. I got them at 11. Now, Dolphins fans are upset about that. They say, how could you do that to us? We lose one game, and you're dropping us 8 spot. Well, you also lost Tua, and everything that went around the loss of Tua. And you know the NFL now is taking a much more serious crack here about how they're handling concussions. Mm-hmm. Teddy Bridgewater against the Jets. I like Teddy, but the Dolphins are a big question mark to me right now.
They are.
How could they not
for
be?
For a lot of people. Hey, time's up. Good job. How about this one? Shouldn't the Falcons, 30 seconds on the clock, be above the Browns after beating them? Isn't that how that works?
Well, maybe. But again, I was on a plane. I didn't write these. Someone did. Someone
You're
on my laptop.
Man.
Someone that looks like me wrote these, but it wasn't me. No, I do think the Browns, yeah, I think the Browns are a better team than the Falcons. The Browns could be 4-0 if they just execute better at the end of a couple games. Mm-hmm. The Falcons have surprised me. I like them. I think they're certified frisky. But if you tell me who I like better, I mean, 21-22, Connie, can we calm down a little bit? And it's not the power standings.
This is my job to nitpick the rankings. Let's go to the next one. Okay, we got Bengals.
It is your job. I apologize.
Apology accepted.
Okay, good.
That's fine. So let's go. Bengals at 6, Ravens at 7. Are you tipping your hand for next week?
Oh, good one. Ooh. Games, where is the game? In Baltimore?
Is it in Baltimore? I got to check.
Yeah, let's check that. Yeah. That is, I guess you would technically,
yes,
I would have to say, no, I wouldn't. I could say whatever I want.
That's right.
I like the Ravens at home, but I also say Cincinnati has their swagger back.
They do.
I liked what I saw from the Bengals the last couple weeks, and Joe Burrow went out of his way after the game to compliment that offensive line and say, hey, man, you do that. You protect me. We're going to do all right. Still want to get the running game going? But I do like the Bengals in Baltimore.
All right. So, again, that game at the Ravens. Sunday Night Football, too. Ooh.
That's
prime time. That's exciting.
You think Joe Burrow is going to ball out in prime time?
I know he's going to show up in some amazing outfit. He had this floral suit on last week.
He's swaggy.
Top notch. 30 seconds. Will the Jets yo-yo continue in the rankings?
I am excited to watch the Jets.
Do you emotionally rank them?
I don't. Sometimes when I'm writing about them, I emotionally write about them, but I try to be even keeled with the rankings. Yeah, I thought that was really nice to see Zach Wilson lead that comeback in the fourth quarter. It was an excellent win. It's their second, like, crazy comeback in 3 weeks. I think they're still a very flawed team. But like I said, I think the Dolphins are a big mystery with Bridgewater and all the drama that's been around them. Mm-hmm. If the Jets beat Miami, they're teenagers, baby.
Ooh.
Like 19.
19.
Yeah. But they have to play well, which they've never been teenagers in the time I've been doing power rankings.
Now all of a sudden you are coming too. I'm seeing Dan kind of like through the haze.
It's gone now.
No, he's gone.
Gone.
We
it
lost
was there.
Him. We lost him.
Now it's gone.
Okay, you're done. You're off the hook from ranking things. I'm going to rank some stuff real quick
before
we get out of here.
Colleen ranks things. That's the name of the segment.
You think your jet lag is bad. Let me tell you about my jet lag because I also had an amazing week in London. I've been all over the place. My husband, John Gonzalez, is over there for Sports Illustrated.
What am I drinking there? That's ginger ale.
Yeah, so I hung out with you guys. This was a great night. We were at the pub together. We were supposed to go to a game, Crystal Palace.
Didn't work out.
So
we just, we went to the local pub and enjoyed the company of each other. And John, who's a great husband and a great hang, we had a fun time together in London, did take the Polaroid photo of you everywhere and had all sorts of photos taken with the Polaroid and various figures.
Yes, you can check out my Instagram if you want to see. It's like a flat, instead of Flat Stanley, it's Flat Colleen. Bringing me all across London. We went to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium the day after the game. I didn't get to go to the game, but I got to check out the locker
room. The Polaroid.
Yes, the Polaroid.
Right.
So,
Or do you think your spirit is inside that photo? Is that what's happening here? Is your spirit inside the actual Polaroid?
Of course it is.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, that's why I'm there. I met Harry Kane, the captain, in the locker room. And then the grand finale, I met the crew and cast from Ted Lasso at the big NFL party after the game.
So you didn't have to go to London?
No, I didn't.
We'll just do this all the time going forward. Send the Polaroid.
The best part is after I'm done with our coverage, I was here at 2 a.m. to start for the pregame and the halftime and all of that.
That sounds fun.
I get home and I have a FaceTime from John and I answer and it's John with the cast and crew from Ted Lasso. Surprises around every corner. All right, I got another thing I'm going to rank
here.
By the way,
that's pretty good husband work.
I know. He's
making
crushing
the rest
it.
Of us
I'm not
going
to lie. This was pretty amazing. Now, normally we would not be showing anyone running onto the field, but the hit that Bobby Wagner pulled out against, this was last night, Rams Niners. There was someone from the crowd that came down onto the field, and Bobby Wagner had the craziest hit on him to take him out, kind of helping out security. Him and Tack McKinley took this guy down, and Kurt Warner thought potentially it was a gender reveal because it was a smoke bomb that was pink. Turns out that was not the case, but shout out to Bobby Wagner for the tackle there that did not show up in the stat sheet.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I think any fan, you have to, if you do run on the field, which you should not, but if you do, at the very least, in addition to the night in the county lockup, getting smoked on the field, that's should be part of the price as well. And if you can get a future Hall of Famer like Bobby Wagner to do it, why not?
Yeah. And Kevin Harlan had a great call of it. You can check that out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Want. Check out the Around the NFL podcast. We'll play that. By the way, did you notice some poor security guard in the background of the video that's all over the place right now is running after the guy with the smoke bomb, and he suffers like a devastating leg/knee injury.
What?
Yes. Watch closer. It's like it's the Zapruder film of crazy fans on the field. It's crazy what happens to this man's leg as he's just trying to run after this lunatic. The lunatic should pay for that man's ACL reconstruction surgery.
I did not know that. I'm always so concerned about the security guards, especially if like a player takes them out by accident. That
right.
is so unfortunate.
No, this is hardcore.
No.
Yes.
Oh, God. Okay.
Sorry, Colleen, guys, to give you that news, but
that's
my job.
Didn't catch that angle. All right, one more. How about this? How about some good news? We'll end on a great note here. Just want to let you know that the fans in Philadelphia, Eagles fans, we are not monsters. Doug Peterson gets back to the Lincoln Financial Field, gets a standing ovation in the rain from the crowd. Their hero returns. The statue is up, and now here he was in the flesh. It was a great moment for the
city.
Wow,
how big of you guys, especially a couple weeks after your unmercifully booing the poor kid wide receiver who got drafted in the first round and didn't play as well
Jalen
as he
Rager?
Wanted to.
Oh, come on, that's a totally different scenario.
And then instead of
scenario.
Booing the guy that drafted Jalen Rager, Howie Roseman, you're booing this poor player who just wants to do his best.
Dan, why do you hate Philadelphia?
I don't. It's just, you know, let's calm down with the hero
great
worship.
Great job,
of the
everybody.
Fans.
Amazing work out there with Doug Peterson.
I mean, how could
you
not cheer? How is
we
this
all
even
love
something?
Each
I think
other.
this is what I'm talking about with the Eagles fans and the Philly fans. Like the fact that you need to, of course,
ooh,
you would cheer Doug
Dan,
Peterson.
We are out of time.
You've won one Super Bowl
that
in 55 years. Of course, you would cheer
rankings.
Him. Why would
Make
it even
sure
be something like maybe we
Next
booed
week,
him?
Cut his mic off. We'll be back, everybody. Have a great rest of your week.
NFL Power Rankings is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.